welcome to another episode. So in this episode, I want to talk a little bit about the term gaslighting, and I want to talk about the term stonewalling and how it applies to somebody that has narcissistic tendencies, right? So as you know, within this season, I have been sharing my story about everything that happened with CG. I don't know necessarily, because I can't actually diagnose anybody as being like a narcissist, but I'm pretty sure that he has some tendencies. And a lot of the stories that I look back on and think about, I feel like a lot of it, you know, just lines perfectly with it, right? So I don't know if he is or isn't. Obviously, the relationship is over. He walked out, as you know, in November without saying goodbye. I co-signed on the truck for him. He's hiding it in Arizona. He still has the New York plates on it, which are registered in my name only. So as a result of that, I'm still paying the monthly insurance on the truck for him. Which drives me unbelievably crazy, but of course it could be worse, right? I'm just making one, like, you know, truck insurance payment a month. He's made the payment so far. So we'll see what happens, right? My license plate registration, bounds me, like I'm kind of trapped, right? Because it's in my name only. Anyway. So, this season I have been focused on narcissism, right? I find NPD incredibly fascinating. If you talk to different therapists or just different people within the medical field, there is some research being done on it. It's very trendy, right? Like if you go to TikTok or Instagram, you know, especially. But I find the characteristics of it more fascinating than anything else, right? So I want to share my story of what I've learned from it in hopes of helping other people, right? So I'm pretty sure CG is a narcissist. I can't really say that. I can't really diagnose it, you know, in my little, you know, because I'm working on my TikTok, Instagram, you know, Google degree, right, on narcissism. But I'm just going to share what I've learned in hopes of sharing other people. Okay, so as you guys know, so we went through love bombing. I'm pretty sure that's how he reeled me in. Love bombing starts like a trauma bond. It starts like a cycle, right? You start really, really high, right? So the highs are really high. So, you know, as I talked about before, there was the 50 red roses. There was like the weekend trip and, you know, that we took to Christmas. You know, he was raving to all of his friends and family and his daughters about how awesome I was. He was talking about how I was, you know, his soulmate before we even met. Like all these kinds of things are forms of love bombing. And narcissists will do love bombing because they want to reel you in. They want to hook you. It's a form, or it's the beginning of a manipulation cycle that they're going to take you through. And the love bombing is important because you're always going to be, for the most part, if you're within this cycle, you're always going to be chasing that high, right? So you kind of put up with bad behavior on their point because they're going to love bomb you. Then they're going to devalue you, and then they're going to discard you. And then it's going to start all over, right? So you're going to have a terrible argument, terrible fight. They're going to be gaslighting you most likely. They're going to be stonewalling you most likely. And then they're going to call you crazy, even though they're kind of doing things that kind of bring that out in you. They're not going to take any blame for that, right? So we're going to go ahead and dive into gaslighting. So the term actually came from a stage play in 1938. The play's literally called Gaslight. And the topic of the play is actually kind of frightening, but it makes sense because this is where the term came from. So there was a husband who was trying deliberately to drive his wife crazy. So he would dim the lights, which were powered by gas in the house that they lived in, right? He would dim the lights. He would deny it, right? And then she would be like, what's going on with the lights? And he's just like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine, you know? So the whole thing of it was he was deliberately trying to make her feel crazy, right? He was trying to make her feel insecure. And that's the beginning of emotional abuse that I was talking about, right? And that's the beginning of the cycles. So with the love bombing, they're trying to gain control of you, right? They're using tactics like gaslighting to make you feel insecure, because once you feel insecure and once you begin to question your own self-worth and you begin to question your sanity, that's when they have power and control over you, right? So gaslighting is a very popular term. It's very popular just in dating, in the dating world, right? Whether it's an actual narcissist or not, it's important to realize that if you're asking somebody who is supposed to love you a direct question, and instead of them answering that question to you directly, and they're basically saying things like, you know, you're so insecure, you know, why are you asking me these things? You know, they're most likely trying to confuse you, because they know within this confusion that they're going to have control over you, right? And you're not going to realize it for the most part, because you trust them, you love them, right? You're chasing the high that they gave you with the love bombing. So when I think about the relationship that I had with CG, there was a lot of gaslighting. There was a lot of stonewalling. Stonewalling is basically somebody just you being a stonewall. They're just refusing to answer you, right? So they go hand in hand. So you're going to hear a lot about gaslighting, a lot about stonewalling on any kind of research you do with narcissists. So I can give you a couple of examples, right? Just to help you realize that you're not alone in this, right? So gaslighting, remember, they're trying to make you feel like you're crazy, right? So in CG's case, like towards the end of our relationship, once he was caught, once I realized that he was cheating on me with S and he was trying to cheat on me with Ellen, once I realized it, you know, I would ask him questions, you know, about, you know, so where are you? Like, what are you doing? Because he had destroyed all that trust, right? So instead of him trying to make me feel better by saying, oh my God, I'm not going to cheat on you anymore. What do you need to know? How can I make you feel better? I'm so sorry. Instead of any of those kinds of things, he was like, you know, you were just so insecure and I don't want to be with somebody who doesn't trust me. The reason that's gaslighting is because he's the one that broke the trust, right? He's the one who cheated, right? He's the one who cheated. So for me to feel insecure, totally normal, right? I was trying to forgive him, but he basically had no accountability for like anything, right? So narcissists, for the most part, you know, as I said before, they're a little bit of like vampires, basically, right? They're trying to take all the good energy from you. When you have great admiration for them, they get this like feed to their ego that they can't fill on their own, right? So they're kind of vampires. They're looking for supply. You'll hear that term a lot with like any kind of research you do with narcissists, specifically on TikTok and Instagram. The supply is basically the person that they have tricked into thinking really highly of them, right? So once, like in the beginning, when I was like, when he was love bombing me and I was full of like admiration and love for him, all of that is the supply that I was giving him to feed his own ego, right? So a couple of the other examples that I think are pretty classic at this point from all the reading that I've done is social media, and specifically the use of liking on Facebook and Instagram. Because as you guys know, right, like somebody can post a picture or a meme or what have you on Facebook or Instagram, and the Facebook use for narcissists is actually really high. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. Narcissists, for the most part, use social media a lot because they're always seeking admiration, because they're trying to feel like a spot in themselves that they can't feel on their own, right? It's like within their soul, like they can't feel it. Even though they're narcissistic and they have feelings of grandeur, they're very insecure. So that's why they're always looking for supply like a vampire from you, right? So Facebook is one of the easiest ways to find a narcissist. And as I said before in the last episode, I think for the most part, a lot of us have tendencies, right? A lot of us are on the spectrum. So a lot of people that study this behavior pattern have identified up to 14 different kinds of narcissists, which means most likely I have tendencies, you have tendencies, right? I just want to share what I have learned, right? So with Facebook use, a narcissist will be on it a lot. They'll post a lot, right? So CG, for example, would post, I would say, on average, 15 times a day. A lot of times it was just memes that he would reshare. It would be like music lyrics, just like a random meme, what have you, right? But he was on it a lot. And he was always searching for like the likes, right? And the hearts. And then a little bit of the conversation. And it took me a while to realize it, because that's how we connected. We connected because I'm on Facebook a lot too, right? And that's how we connected, because he was liking and loving everything that I was posting. And I noticed like the excessive use of it directed towards me for the whole like time that I kind of met him at some point, 2009, 2010 over Facebook. His name was familiar because he was always liking and hearting everything. Now, we all know I'm funny, right? we all know I'm cute, right? But the fact that he was using Facebook for years to like and heart everything I posted was a little bit of a tactic that narcissists use, right? Because they're always looking for constant supply. So they get bored pretty easily for the most part, right? Love bombing kind of varies, right? You know, there's always like exceptions to every rule. Love bombing for the most part can go anywhere between 30 to 90 days, sometimes less, sometimes more, right? It just depends. I think for the most part, I think it's lower than less than 90 days because it just gets exhausting to kind of mirror somebody and pretend to like everything they like and pretend to tell them that they're awesome and cute and smart and whatever. It's exhausting, right? I think once a narcissist reels you in, they get bored. And I told you guys, right, that I actually became friends with Ellen when I realized who she was, you know, when that phone call and what have you, you know. You can refer back to the first episode of the season when I go into it, when I had the dream and all that, and then she called on the Sunday. Anyway, she and I became friends. We're still friends, and she's pretty fucking awesome, I gotta say. But anyway, she was telling me that when CG reached out to her in July, that she had asked him, you know, like over like, you know, messenger or text, she had, you know, messaged him. And she was just like, you know, why are you cheating? Like, why have you cheated on your girlfriend, meaning me? Because she and I had met before, but, you know, she knew that he wasn't single. And she literally asked him and she showed me the screenshots. She worded it of kind of like, which was clever, but she was just like, can I ask you a question? And he's like, sure. And she was just like, why do you cheat? You know, like, why do you have side chicks? Like, what is going on with that? Because that's a term that he had used with her in a previous text. And it really upset me because he had never used side chick before with me. And that goes into a whole nother topic that we can talk about later. But she had asked him, you know, like why he does this. And he had said over text, he was like, well, I don't know. He was like, I just get really bored easily. And that's actually a narcissistic trait, to get really bored with somebody. And it kind of makes sense because he doesn't have empathy, right? He didn't. But a lot of narcissists don't have empathy or remorse, right? Because they can't really connect. So the fact that they get bored pretty quickly with somebody makes a lot of sense, right? Because they're not really forming like an actual connection. They're just kind of tricking you. So of course they get bored, right? They're exhausted, right? I mean, I'm funny and cute, but I mean, at a certain point, he was like, I'm so sick of telling Tracy that she's funny and cute. He got bored, right? So that's when he started reaching back to the other supply. I think one of the main ways that CG, for example, found so much supply is through the use of social media. So as I said before, he was on Facebook a lot, posted a lot. He liked, hearted a lot of other females, you know, images, not just me. I was married. He was married. He was still liking all my shit for years, right? When he and I were a couple, I noticed one day that he had liked a few females that I would see regularly. Like, you know, they would comment on his shit because, you know, you have mutual friends, right? But we also had friends that were not mutual, but would always comment on his stuff or my stuff, right? And I kind of mentioned to him in passing, I was like, you know, there's this blonde, you know, she's, I don't want to body shame people, but I was like, she's a little, you know, she's a little heavy set, you know, she weighs a little bit more than me. She wears a lot of makeup. I was like, this person, seems to like everything and heart everything that you like. I was like, how do you know this person? And he was kind of like, oh, we went to high school together, you know? And I was just like, oh, it's interesting. But I was like, have you seen this person recently? And he was like, no, it's been years or whatever. And I'm like, huh, interesting. And I was just like, because it's kind of bothering me. Like, just to be honest with you, like, we're a couple. It's bothering me that you like and heart all of her stuff. And she does with you as well. I don't feel good about it. And he was just like, you're so insecure and blah, 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 whatever. So that's kind of gaslighting. Instead of actually listening to how I was feeling, because I was his partner, allegedly his soulmate, right? Instead of me feeling better about that conversation, he made me feel like I was crazy, right? So I kind of dismissed it, threw it under the rug, right? Because remember, I was always in search of like the next high, right, from the love bombing. So, you know, he devalued me, made me feel like I was crazy, and he discarded me, basically blew me off, right? So I noticed it with some other females, right? A handful. And he would always have an answer of like, oh, I barely know that person. He was like, you're reading too much into it. He was like, you're just insecure. and then I was just like, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I was just like, at a certain point, you know, like we're a couple, like couples are supposed to like listen to each other, right? This is a concern I have. I was like, if you had a concern, I would take it seriously. I don't feel like you're taking my concern seriously. but I think the boredom and I think just the Facebook use, looking for more supply, was a great way for him to ensure he always had supply, right? So gaslighting and stonewalling is a tactic, right? There are instances, like you'll hear it all the time with like politicians, you know, what have you, but you know, other people that are not in romantic relationships could gaslight you, they could stonewall you. Doesn't mean that anybody or everybody who gaslights and stonewalls is a narcissist, but most likely, if you're in a romantic relationship with a narcissist, you're always going to feel like you're always like unsure, like you're always like walking on eggshells, right? And that's not how you want to live your life, right? I also feel like narcissists can't really take like a joke, you know? Like I love to talk shit. I've been in the army for just over 15 years, right? I love to talk shit every day of my life. And I told you guys in the last episode that I was kind of teasing him because he was saying one time, quite often towards the end of a relationship, that he felt like he was very situationally aware. And I was joking about how, well, you know, if you're so, situationally aware, where's your wallet? Where's your AirPods? Because he had lost several and he lost his wallet. We got pretty angry, right? So that's actually a tactic, or not a tactic, but that's a common trait that narcissists have. Like they get really sensitive because they feel like you're going to see through, like, you know, what they're really like. So that's a sign, right? They get bored, right? Excessive, you know, social media use, excessive liking and loving of like the opposite sex, basically. They don't have any accountability for anything. You know, like when I found out CG was cheating, you know, he was like playing the victim, and he was basically like, I should trust him more. And of course, like, how am I going to trust you if you're cheating, right? So that's something to, you know, just to keep in mind. You know, like I said, not everybody who gaslights and not everybody who stonewalls is a narcissist, but there are some traits that are pretty common, and I feel like it, you know, it's just worth talking about. You know, narcissists will forever be the victims of their own chaos, and that was something that for me was a really hard lesson for me to learn about the relationship that I had with CG. It was just over 2 years. I told you guys I co-signed on a truck for him because I felt really sorry for him. Narcissists tend to be very good at making you feel sorry for them, that they tend to target people that are generous and empathetic because they want to use these people, right? So I have a generous heart, which I got from my mother, which I love. But unfortunately in this situation, it was easy for him to take advantage of me because I had this like desire to save him, right? Because he was almost evicted a couple times. He's been fired several times in the time frame that I knew him. You know, we all know one of the times he got fired was because he was like stealing gas and he was like taking the vehicle where he shouldn't. I mean, he caused that, right? But if you ask him about it, he was like, well, you know, I didn't get fired for that. He was like, I got fired because, you know, of other things that were not his fault, right? So one of those things that I just find fascinating and interesting looking back over the relationship is I felt this need to save him because he was really good at making himself feel like he was a nice guy. And he had just had a lot of bad luck, and all of his exes, you know, prior to me were crazy, and all of his exes prior to me didn't want to help him, and all of his exes prior to me weren't his soulmate like I was, right? So he was painting this like nice guy image, you know, of this mask that he was wearing, that he was a nice guy, that he would never cheat, that he wanted to buy a house with me in Virginia, and blah, 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 right? So it goes on and on of the things that they will do and say to reel you in. So one of my best rules of just like advice, you know, for you that are out there still dating, and for myself, is just to slow things down. You know, like I've been dating, you know, off and on since November, and I've met some great men. One this past Saturday, oh my God, I have this crazy sunburn because we went to a winery and we were out there for like 7 hours anyway, and I was wearing a tank top. But anyway, I've met a lot of men that seem or appear to be really nice and kind, right? And somebody who is recovering from abuse from a narcissist, which is me, because I feel like he was a narcissist. I feel like, you know, can't diagnose, feel like he was. And I feel like I'm still recovering from that because it is, you know, abuse. It's, you know, emotional abuse. I feel like almost 6 months later, well, I guess 5 months, but almost five and a half months later, I'm very cautious with who I go on dates with now and how many dates we have, and then how much we communicate throughout the day, because it's probably not fair to these, you know, potentially innocent men out there, but I will never allow myself to be love bombed again. I'm not saying that, you know, everybody out there wants to love bomb me, but I'm very cautious of slowing things down. So that's kind of my warning about anybody who runs into somebody in a romantic level, you know, as far as dating, it's just be really mindful and careful of the love bombing, right? If they're calling you a soulmate almost immediately, if they're saying they love you almost immediately, if they say they want to move in with you, huge fucking sign, huge fucking red flag. Slow things down, right? As I have said before, if you're starting to date someone and you feel like it's too much too soon, use your power to basically set boundaries, right? People who actually care about you, people who care about you will respect your boundaries. I have had conversations with men that we've been on like 5-6 dates, right? And I'm just kind of like, I really like spending time with you, but I'm not ready to be in an exclusive relationship with you at this point in my life. If you want to keep hanging out, we can hang out, but I'm not going to put myself in a position where I feel like I might be taken advantage of again, because I don't have that trust level back yet, right? Part of it is me. I need to do the work, obviously, myself, right? I feel taken advantage of. I felt like I'm still a little bitter about this, you know, car insurance payment. So I need to take care of myself, make sure I'm happy, make sure my dog's happy. I have a new job. I have like a new house I love. I have like this new garden that I'm starting. So there's all these things that it's okay that I allow to make important until I feel ready that I do want to trust another person. But I can tell you that next person that I trust, I've had this joke so many times with different men that I've dated, I need to know your credit score. Most of them oblige and show me on apps of their phone, which is hilarious. And I was like, I just need to know that you're financially secure, right? I just need to know that I don't have to swoop in and save you when you're about to be evicted or what have you, right? I just need to know that you can like that you can pay for your own shit. I can pay for my own shit. We will get along beautifully, because I am not going to be in a position ever again where I have to feel like I have to save a grown man, right? So that's the lessons that I have learned. Slow everything down, right? Love bombing is very different than romance. You should be romance, goddamn it, you should be, but it can't be too quick. You can't be a soulmate immediately. They can't love you immediately, and they can't want to move in with you immediately. So I hope that this episode and I hope that this season have been helpful to you as far as understanding some terms that narcissists or the study of narcissists always like throw out there, right? So there's different levels of narcissism, right? There's different kinds of narcissist. Love bombing, you hear a lot, right? You hear the trauma bond. The trauma bond is what, you know, emotional abuse cycle with the devaluing and the discarding that they use. It creates a trauma bond because you're like looking for that next high, right? So you'll hear those terms a lot, right? You'll also hear flying monkeys, which is basically people in their lives that are don't see who they really are. If you think about the Wizard of Oz, who the fuck was a flying monkey, right? It's just the way it is, you know? When all of this happened with the car payments and the current insurance initially, by the way, I reached out to CG's family, and initially they wanted to help, and then of course he said God knows what he said about me, and then they all declined to help me. So they're basically flying monkeys. They're kind of supporting his behaviors, right? So I suspect, you know, because he's about to be 47, and I suspect that they realize he's probably not a nice guy. And I think that they probably realize he probably is a narcissist. You know, it's your family, right? So I feel like they're protecting him, and they're basically being a flying monkey. They're enabling him to continue, right? So we can go more into about that later if you're interested. But I think flying monkey is pretty easy term to understand. You'll hear a lot about hoovering. A lot of times a narcissist will like hoover back, you know, like they'll go back to their supply, you know. So remember I told you, you know, CG, you know, was you know, cheating on me with S, you know, the woman with the young children, the married one. And then once he left me, he was on his way to go see Ellen. Well, Ellen was an ex, right? So he was basically hoovering her, right? He started reaching back to her in July and was on his way in his mind to hang out with her for a weekend when he left me in November. That's a hoover, right? So Just be careful of the exes that have hurt you and want to come back for various reasons, because I think for the most part, it's very rare when you're in a relationship with somebody and you break up and then it works and you get back together. It's super rare. But specifically when you're dealing with somebody with a high narcissistic tendencies, they like to hoover. It's really easy for them to go back and to, like, you know, reignite this like love bomb that they had for you, like reignite this like memory and like nostalgia. One of the other great tips that I have found about reading about people with narcissistic tendencies, if you ask them why they love you, most of them will kind of panic because, you know, they don't really have an answer because they don't really love you. They like the supply. They like the money that you're giving them. They like the free food, the free drinks, like I was, you know, buying for CG, like all those drinks and Airbnbs and food like that. He loved that, you know. So if I were to ask him what he loved about me, for example, which I would do periodically, he would say things like, I love how you take care of me. Like, hello, that's not a trait. That's basically, you love the fact that you're using me, basically, right? So be really careful of the way that somebody describes what they love about you is my advice, you know? What you love about me is not what I can do for you, right? So anyway, so if you guys have any questions or concerns about anything, you know where to find me. I have one season left of, or one episode left of this season. And I have to tell you, I'm very happy to have this podcast for many reasons. It's been cathartic for me, you know, to talk about this relationship that I had, you know, for just over 2 years. I do generally from the bottom of my soul hope that I'm able to help at least one of you out there. But I have to tell you, I cannot wait to no longer talk about CG. I realize at this point I'm probably stuck paying this like payment, you know, every month until, you know, the registration expires, which is March 2025. But it's just money and I can afford it and who the fuck cares? Oh, that's the other thing with control and narcissism. So I used to give CG money, right? Obviously, and I started paying for like all his food and drinks and travel and everything, obviously. But that was one thing that he always tried to control with me, is he always like made me feel like I was wasting my money. Like he was always like, I can't believe you spent that much on Amazon. Like, I can't believe you spent that much on sunglasses at Target or whatever. So that's something to be careful of too, because I didn't, it's small little things. And over time he made me feel guilty when I spent my own money. That's just a way he was trying to gain control over me, right? So that's just something to be aware of, you know. I didn't realize it until the very end, and then once he left that November and then I realized that we were broken up, I was like, fuck him. I spent like a fortune on myself and my dog and my friends, and it was awesome. Anyway, if you have any questions, you know where to find me. I will always be here. I'm definitely wrapping up this season. There's one more episode. I'm just going to wrap everything up and then explain why I entitled it The Art of the Con. My next season, I'm thinking about nutrition and exercise for somebody who's about to be 53, because I'm obsessed with CrossFit. And just the way I have to eat and exercise is different now at this point in my life. Thinking about it, don't really totally know. If you have any questions, if you think it's a good idea, let me know. But I gotta say, I'm very happy for you. I'm very grateful that you are in my life, and I'm very appreciative that you've let me share my story with you. We're all on a journey, right? And we don't have to do this alone. And that's it for now. Bye.